and this is Summer Sound on AM 1450 and KBPS.AM. Right now, we're joined by editor and recently named Vice President of Content at the Oregonian and Oregon Live, Laura Gunderson. We're very excited to talk with Mrs. Gunderson because she is a former KBPS Summer Sound student. Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I'm sure you have a very busy schedule.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, anytime. So first, tell us a little about your KBPS connection. How and when were you involved at KBPS?
Well, I believe I heard about the program through the student journalism program at Grant High School, where I graduated.
Nice.
So Sunny Stouts, the journalism teacher there, told us about it. So those folks on the Grantonian staff applied, and I think I was chosen. And I was here, I believe, the summer between my junior and senior year. So I think that would have been 1990, and I had a fabulous time. I'd always loved journalism, but I had not ever tried radio, and that was quite a different experience.
Yeah, that seems fun.
What was it like working with Kevin Flink on Summer Sound back then? What was your job like?
Oh, well, he was awesome because a lot of us had not done this before, unlike folks at Benson who have an introduction to that. People at Grant didn't have a radio station, so Kevin was really great about describing how to do it, how to make our writing clean and clear, and how to not laugh while we were doing broadcasts, which always proved a challenge.
Struggle, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you learned in KBPS at Summer Sound that has helped you in your life post-Summer Sound?
Yeah, I think that moment where just before you start talking to somebody or just before you start reading a newscast, to just take that breath and kind of get in the moment and calm down and try and talk slowly, which again is always a challenge for me.
I'm so bad at it.
But just that moment of kind of gathering your thoughts, focusing, and then, you know, starting your interview or starting to read your story. And I do think that was something that helped me as a reporter through the years before I launched into interviews.
Yeah.
What other journalism-related jobs have you held between KBPS and your current position?
Well, I went on from KBPS and worked at the Grantonian, and then I spent 2 years at U of O, but then transferred to University of Portland because I got a job at the Oregonian in the sports department. And so I was on the Beacon staff at UP for a while, and then I had an internship at the Clackamas Review in Milwaukee in the Oregon City News, and then kind of slowly started to work my way into covering stories at the Oregonian. I was actually a sports clerk, which meant every night I would collect sports scores from coaches all across the state. But then during the days, I would try and do freelance work at the Oregonian. And I basically just asked for any opportunity I could. Any chance I had to cover a story, whatever it was, whether it was sports or anything else, I would take it. And so then I slowly worked my way up. I always joke that I've done every beat at the Oregonian that we have, whether it's schools or business or government reporting.
Yeah.
I had a column. I did retail. I served on our editorial board. So any opportunity, I just always said yes and asked for more chances like that.
That's wonderful. Well, you've certainly come a long way. Could you tell our listeners what the editor and vice president of content at Oregon Live does?
How long do we have? It is, so I have the, basically the managing editors for news who work with me, and we kind of figure out what the daily news report's going to be. We also look long-term of what are our kind of investigative stories, or what are the things that we feel are important to cover, which beats we should have. But we also do a lot more work now in the area of podcasts and doing really great video and, you know, what kind of interactive graphics can we have online? And then there's a whole another department of folks we have who do our social, you know, so you see us on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube. So it's really, it runs the gamut now. It's no longer just we're thinking about a newspaper. We're thinking about our online presence, how we are telling stories on all the various places that our readers come to us from.
Yeah, I know we definitely try and do stuff on different platforms here at KBPS on obviously a much smaller scale. We like to try and post stuff on Instagram to get people to tune in and that sort of thing. So it's cool to know that even big platforms like the Oregonian do the same thing.
Oh yeah, it's a huge part of what we're thinking about every single day. where are readers and how can we get to them, or our viewers or listeners?
The modern era and the internet is certainly a great tool.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell us what the day in the life of the Oregonian editor looks like?
Well, let's see. Lots of meetings. We usually have 2 news meetings a day. Oh. In the mornings at 9:45, our news editors meet to kind of talk about what stories that we're planning for the day, if there's any breaking news events that we're aware of, if there are any press conferences that, let's say the police chief is going to come talk, and then everybody kind of launches for the day. And obviously there's a bunch of different phone calls if news breaks after the news meeting, and then we meet again at 1:30 and we look back and we see, how are our stories doing? Are our readers liking a particular story? And if so, based on, you know, clicking through, is there more that we can give them on that particular story? So we meet twice a day, but then throughout that time, I'm often planning things for the future, whether we're going to do polling, because we do a lot of that to create stories. If there's an election coming up or a legislative session, or what, you know, if we have a podcast that we're trying to work on or fine tune, there's just lots of meetings, lots of thinking about how are the ways that we can tell great stories and what can those stories be?
Yeah, I know certainly everyone here at KPBS really appreciates all that hard work you put into it. We use Oregon Live as a source quite often, or at least I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going into our next question, I remember last year we had a guest speaker who was, I sadly don't remember her name, but was a woman who worked in radio, and this is a question I like asking women who come in, is about their experience as a woman in journalism, and I remember the response she gave me was, you're going to end up serving a lot of coffee. So do you feel like you have had a different experience in journalism than your male peers because you're a woman?
You know, I have been very lucky. When I came on as a reporter at the Oregonian, the person sitting in my role as executive editor at the time was a woman, Sandy Rowe.
Wonderful.
And our managing editor at the time was Therese Bottomley. We had, you know, a couple other male editors after that, but then for the last, you know, 7 years, Therese was the executive editor, and then her two managing editors were myself and another woman, Carly Imus. When you look around our newsroom, it's the majority women. And if you look across journalism, generally, it's majority women. You know, when I started in the sports department, yeah, I was one of two, I think, maybe three women at the time. But I'm very lucky. There have been a lot of women who blazed this trail for me. And I must say that I've felt like, I mean, look where I am. I've been given lots of really great opportunities and lots of chances to learn and to grow and to train. And I've had a really great experience. And I'm hoping that the feeling is that there is lots of opportunity now for all types of people in our newsroom.
That's great. Well, thank you for continuing to blaze that trail for any girls or women who want to follow behind you. And we do have more questions lined up, but we will continue the interview after a short break. So make sure to stay tuned to KPBS Summer Sound 2025, where we are talking to the editor and vice president of content for The Oregonian and Oregon Live, Laura Gunderson. We are joined on air with the editor and vice president of content for The Oregonian and Oregon Live, Laura Gunderson, who is, fun fact, a former Summer Sound student.
So, Laura, you mentioned earlier that The Oregonian does a lot of polling. I'm wondering how you do the polling.
Well, it's great. We actually, for the polling I was referencing, we work with DHM Research, which is a local polling firm. So those are polls that we do very specifically because they're, you know, science-backed. They go out and they do the number of people that you have to do to make sure that we can actually report that as a representative sample of the Portland area. And we often do those twice a year. Maybe if we're lucky, we get to fit in three a year. And we're able to kind of break news because we ask questions. I mean, as you know, journalists are great at thinking of good questions, and the folks at DHM Research are really wonderful about kind of helping us shape them based on other polling that they've done. So we try to really kind of get out and ask edgy questions so that we can kind of figure out what people are thinking. And we usually figure out about 20 or so questions and then think about what are two or three stories that we can write off each question that we ask. So we end up coming up with a whole bunch of great stories that we run out over about 2 months. So probably we'll have one coming up in the fall. But we've also done, we had a reporter a couple years ago who did some research. She went out and talked to houseless people in the Multnomah County area and just did a more informal survey. So it provided us with not scientific information, but anecdotal about what people were experiencing and what they felt their needs were. And that was another one that was really popular with readers who wanted to hear straight from folks who were having that experience.
As a little follow-up, what kind of questions do you ask in the big polls that you do?
Well, sometimes, you know, we try to not have them be what we call like horse race questions, which are off elections where we say, are you going to vote for, you know, which mayoral candidate? We did this last go around because Portland was having these historic elections and a big change of how they did voting. But we often, you know, we had one after the summer protests of 2020. And there was this belief that a lot of people in Portland did not want more police. And that's very much what the protests were about. When we polled across the Portland area, though, people, in fact, did want more police. And so that was something that was counterintuitive, that yes, there was a vocal minority of folks who felt like our police department was perfectly staffed. It did not need to be bigger. But there were a lot of other folks who felt like, no, there are gaps in our quality of life here that could really be helped if we had more police in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So that was a kind of story where we, you know, asked a question that we thought people cared a lot about. The answer was surprising. And we were able to break news in that area.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, you're a former Summer Sound student. Is there anything you've taken away from that experience in Summer Sound and have been applying to your, you know, big new job as vice president of content or editor at the Oregonian?
Well, I think, as you all know, being very careful as you report the facts, making sure that you do the right amount of research, because obviously I didn't have the internet when I was doing this job, probably for the better. But you really can't trust most stuff that you find there, especially today when you ask a question on Google and the AI answer pops up. It is so often wrong. And I know that you guys know that.
Yeah.
And that's actually also hurting legacy media and your own media, because when people ask questions and it pops up that AI answer, you know, people don't often go down to the original reporting.
Yeah.
And so I always tell folks, don't go the AI answer, go down to the source. And I think those are things that I learned here with the summer with the summer program here, of just how to make sure that you're being careful and making sure that you have the facts and going right to the source, having people in and interviewing them like you guys do.
Absolutely.
If you weren't in journalism, what would be your dream career?
See, journalism was always my dream career.
Oh, okay.
Both my grandparents were journalists, and my great-grandfather worked at the East Oregonian in Pendleton. So it was just, I kind of wanted to be an astronaut for a while, and then maybe a marine biologist, because I think I was kind of in love with Jacques Cousteau. But then for most of my life, it was journalism.
That's awesome. Well, congrats on achieving that dream. you certainly made it.
Thank you.
Over your long career at the Oregonian Oregon Live, what's one of your favorite stories that you've had the chance to cover?
Oh, so many fun stories. I worked on a lot of the big political controversies, the resignation of Governor John Kitzhaber. Then we had the resignation of our Secretary of State, Shamia Fagan. But earlier in my career, I had this really fun story. Do you guys remember smart cars? They were little teeny tiny little cars.
Yeah. My uncle had one of those and then ran into a deer.
Oh.
I think the deer was fine. His car was not.
That would be my guess. But I did a story on when Ron Tonkin dealerships first started to bring them over. They did not know it, but they were working with some questionable players on across the country who didn't really have access to the cars they said they did. And so it got into this whole saga. It was like a three-part series, and it involved some alleged scammers, and I got to travel to Paris, Texas, and to Miami and to Palm Springs to meet with Ron Tonkin himself. And you know, nobody ended up losing any money. The cars didn't ever come, but it was a very fun story to work on. It was my very first story where I got to kind of travel across the country to meet with people. And
that sounds fascinating. I definitely got to find that story and read it.
Do you have any advice for up-and-coming writers or journalists listening?
I do. I would say what I did, and I think it's still possible today, is I went to the Clackamas Review, and there are still some small regional or neighborhood newspapers, and just go say, hey, do you guys need some help? I walked into the Clackamas Review office and said, you guys need an intern. And they're like, well, we don't have one. And I said, exactly. What can I do? And I don't need money. I just wanted clips. You know, going out and doing all that you can do to try and get your work published. And maybe that's doing volunteer shifts on a radio station with some of the programs you've been talking about, or going to work at a little neighborhood neighborhood association newsletters, anything where you get that practice of just regularly writing and building your confidence. And then looking for internships. You know, a lot of people don't start doing that until their senior year in high school, but a lot of programs, you know, will take younger students. And then when you get into your college, again, looking in your sophomore year, junior year, because the more experience you have in newsrooms, if this is what you love to do, the more experience you get and the more options you'll have.
Wonderful. Well, that's thank you for that advice. I hope we all find great opportunities to use it. So our last question is a super serious one that we ask everyone who comes on. Tacos or burritos?
Oh, that's the easiest one of all. All the questions today. Tacos.
All right. I
will add
a tally mark to the whiteboard we keep in our on-air room. For anyone who has been keeping track, burritos is currently at 6 votes, while tacos is up to 11.
This is absurd.
It used to be pretty close. I think tacos is pretty far in the lead at this point. Well,
nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. That's a wrap for our for today's interview. Again, Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. And we have internships. Look for them. We put up in October, November.
Okay. I think I might check it out.
I definitely want to keep an eye out for that.
OregonLive.com.
Okay. Yeah.
We've been speaking with independent editor and vice president of content at The Oregonian and Oregon Live, Laura Gunderson. This is Summer Sound Live on AM 1450, KBPS, and KBPS.AM. Thank you for listening.